The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, we're back for the final hour of the show at 11:02. I'm Randy Corporan, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. And we are rocking and rolling through your Saturday morning. Really appreciate all of the calls, texts, emails this morning. Just noticed on Twitter that Donald Trump, been watching this for a couple of weeks, he was at 67.9 million followers. I think he was at about 63 a month or two ago, but I wasn't really paying close attention then. He has rolled into the 68 million now followers and continuing to climb. Really fascinating to watch. When I talk about, you know, following Steve Dace or Robert Spencer or following me on Twitter, it's fun to watch your followers grow. I'm targeting 5,000, hopefully by the end of the year, only a couple, 200 or 300 away from that number now. But it is so very important, you know, for all of us older folks who show up at the Tea Party meetings, the Republican breakfasts, whatever the events are, and we just don't want to get our hands dirty with social media. I am telling you, it is the great equalizer for the president of the United States, and it is the great equalizer for grassroots activists who are trying to continually learn from and push back against, you know, learn the message that's not being delivered by most of the media, the mainstream outlets, and then push back against it. That is the place to do it. If you're interested in following me on Twitter, it's at Randy Corporan, all O's in the last name. I've only got room for about 40 more friends on Facebook. Then they lock that out, I think, at 5,000 there as well. So get in. We can chat back and forth directly, whether it's about a legal problem for my law firm. I'll direct you off of Facebook when that happens. Or about political issues, what's happening around town, rallies that are coming up, things we need to know about that will be coming out of the Democrat-controlled legislature. We can do all of those things if we're connected on Twitter or Facebook. And while you're on Facebook, please go to our show page, Wake Up with Randy Corporan, and give that a like as well. I promise you, growing these social media platforms is really, really important to what we need to do. Interesting that the vice president, former vice president and Democrat front runner, how scary is that, jumping Joe Biden, he of the I think we will really actually do some quid pro quo.
They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
The real quid pro quo that the impeachment hoaxers and the left-wing media, which really means most of the media, do not want to talk about, that guy, creepy, handy-feely Joe Biden, came out and said that he will not comply with a Senate subpoena if he is called in to testify in the trial. And it's fascinating because one of the articles of impeachment against Donald Trump is that he refused to comply with Senate demands for paperwork or to turn over his closest advisors for their inquisitions in the basement of the Capitol. So he's in obstruction of Congress. Now the former vice president, Democrat front runner, comes back and says that he too will be not complying with these subpoenas. And hey, Adam, I was wrong on the timing. We should go ahead and take Brandon now. So for everybody who's on the line, go ahead. We're going to spend a few minutes with someone who's become a friend. Haven't had the opportunity to meet him yet, but the founder of the Walkaway Movement. I was thinking you were at 11:25. My apologies for that, Brandon Straka. But he joins us now from home base. So glad you got to go home for Christmas, Brandon. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very, very well. I was promoting you at 11:25. My mistake.
Oh, well, hey, listen, I can call.
No. Glad to have you. We'll finish the show out. We've been just full lines all morning. We'll have plenty of time for callers on the other side of this interview. And in teasing our conversation with you, I hooked up with you very, very early after your first walkaway Twitter video went viral very early in the movement. I just had such great respect for somebody who, you know, I've got family who are in the TV industry. We're in media in New York City. I know the pressures that they're under politically. You come out as a Republican or a convert or a conservative of any kind, and it really, we see this in Hollywood as well, your career can really be over. So for folks who are not familiar with Brandon Straka and the walkaway movement, let's go back to the beginning and have you retell your story briefly.
Sure. Yeah. So essentially, I'm somebody who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. I was a lifelong liberal and a lifelong supporter of the Democrat Party. I was vehemently anti-Trump, and I was really shocked and devastated when Donald Trump got elected in 2016, because I really had placed all of my trust in the liberal media, and I really believed everything that they were saying about, not only about, you know, his chances of winning the presidency, which they had put at about 3% or less, but about the kind of person he was and about the kind of people his followers are. And, you know, for me, largely the fact that I'm a gay man really influenced, you know, my decision, I think, to fall into a liberal camp and to support the Democrats. And so after Trump got elected in 2016, you know, it just, a lot of truth was revealed in those moments, because I went kind of on a quest to try to understand, number one, how did the media get it so wrong? And also, honestly, I was really scared, and I was really shocked. I mean, because they didn't let up once he got elected president. They kind of doubled down on the fear-mongering, and, you know, that he was going to start a world war, that he was going to do all these terrible things to minorities in this country, that he's a racist, that he's a bigot. And so I really wanted to understand, what is actually going on in this country? Are there really this many people who are, you know, covert bigots and haters existing in this country? So I went on a long journey of research throughout 2017, and I discovered amazing things about how dishonest and duplicitous the liberal media is. And, you know, kind of the final straw for me was the revelation that Donald Trump did not mock a reporter's disability, as I thought that he had, because that's how how CNN and the media presented it. You know, that they had taken all these moments out of context to try to create a narrative and push a narrative that wasn't true.
Yeah, before you go on to your next point, let's just elaborate on this one real quick for people who do not know. Everybody remembers the ads during the 2016 campaign. We'll probably see them again in 2020. It's one of the many repeat memes that you get from the left all the time, that Trump was mocking a disabled reporter, because there was a disabled reporter when he was kind of flapping his wings and flapping his arms and making kind of funny sounds. But some guy went through the trouble of going back through history with Donald Trump, and you see that that is a mechanism that he has used to make a point, kind of humorous, kind of serious, whether there was anyone who happened to have a disability or it was a disabled reporter asking the question or whatever. This was just something that he does, and it had nothing to, he's not against or making fun of disabled people. He mocks everybody, but this had nothing to do with disability. What was your take? I imagine you're referring to that video collage and explanation that was put together right after the campaign.
Right. So, that was one of the first things that, you know, after, it was in January of 2017, so he was just about to take office or had just taken office. And as I said, I was really trying to understand. So in January of 2017, I posted on Facebook that, you know, I would never be able to understand how anybody could vote for a man who could stand before a cheering crowd and mock a reporter's disability. And somebody reached out to me privately on Facebook with a video link entitled, debunking that Trump mocked the disabled reporter. And like you just said, it's a compilation of footage showing Donald Trump doing that same voice and that same gesture as he did that day when he was accused of mocking a reporter's disability. But the commonality in every example is that he's actually imitating anybody who is flailing because they've been caught in a lie or doing something shady or dishonest. And it, you're right, it has absolutely nothing to do with that reporter's disability. And that was really, really eye-opening for me. I mean, that was truly the moment that sort of struck the match for me and ignited that flame, because I didn't know that the media did that. I thought that the media actually cares about the American people. I thought they cared about the truth. And I thought, particularly when they report on, you know, their concern for black people and brown people and immigrants and LGBT people, that it came from a place of legitimate concern about a faction of society in America that wishes to do them harm. I had no idea at that time that it was a complete and total fabrication of the truth designed to manipulate minority groups and control our thinking. And when I discovered that, I became very, very outraged. And that's when I decided to do something about it.
The video that you put out went absolutely viral. My goodness, you've got over 300,000 followers now just on Twitter, a website, walkawaycampaign.com. When you made your announcement, as you started to meet leaders in the Republican Party or in the conservative movement or whatever, and identifying yourself as a gay man, which side of the political spectrum, after you made your announcement that you were walking away, has treated you with love, and which side has treated you with derision?
Well, I could. Sorry, that question kind of makes me laugh, because it's true that everything is sort of backwards. I mean, I feel like where we are today, 2019, going into 2020, the issues, surrounding LGBT, gay people, whatever, it's not really something that the Republican Party seems to care much about anymore. What I've really discovered is that the Republican Party and conservatives in general really put a lot of emphasis on empowering the individual, regardless of the individual's race, sexual orientation, or background. I mean, the messaging, I think, is really that of, yes, we all start from different places in life, but it's really up to us as individuals to determine where our life is going to go, you know, what we're going to do to create the life that we want for ourselves. And that, to me, is a very powerful message. And I have been very warmly embraced by the conservative movement. I've traveled the country over the last year, speaking in colleges and speaking in different groups around the state, growing this movement. And I've been really, really sometimes treated like Elvis Presley, to be honest. I mean, like, there's people really, really love what I'm doing and have treated me very well. And on the flip side, it's been fascinating to watch how liberals and Democrats have treated me as I've created this movement, because, you know, I don't spend a lot of time patting myself on the back, but I will say I think that what I have done is incredible in a way. I don't think anything quite like it has ever happened before, because, you know, I started Walk Away with no money, no media contact, no political contact. I quite literally was a low-income hairdresser in New York City, and I built this entirely on my own. And you would think that, you know, the liberals and the liberal media would want to celebrate a story like that, a gay man who created something out of nothing and rose to, you know, a sense of stardom within the conservative movement. I mean, that's a story, is it not? But instead,
absolutely.
But instead, when they report on it, they erase me entirely. And what they say is, well, Walk Away is a Russian propaganda campaign. It was created, it's a Kremlin-operated campaign supported by Russian bots. I mean, literally, completely invalidating all of the work that I've done. And in most cases, they don't even mention me when they tell the story. And I think to myself, well, gee, that's really empowering a gay person in America, isn't it? They don't care anything about this accomplishment because it's contrary to their narrative.
It's remarkable and is eye-opening for people when they get connected. The walk-away movement, what made it so just so fast-moving was that all of a sudden thousands upon thousands of people around the country, black folks, Hispanic folks, gay, transgender, in transition, whatever, it just didn't matter. People in general had their eyes open, and they created their own selfie videos and retweeted them with you, put them up on the Walkaway Facebook page. I'm assuming, although I haven't been there in a while, that the videos are still up at walkawaycampaign.com. And that's why the left has to try and shut you down or try and make you, you know, irrelevant or untrue, is because they're seeing what's happening. The polling for Donald Trump, just in the black community, 30%+ right now, when the average Republican gets maybe 8, if he gets 12 or 15% of even just the black vote, Democrats are done in spite of all of the illegals they're bringing in and trying to make it possible for them to vote.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, in terms of the movement itself and the stories that you're talking about, you know, we began on Facebook. I started just, you know, the hashtag Walkaway Campaign Facebook group, and it ebbs and flows kind of depending on what is going on in the news and what the Democrats are doing. For instance, when Kavanaugh was going through, you know, being kind of dragged through the mud with the hearings that, with Christine Blasey Ford and et cetera, we had a huge second wave of, you know, people joining in testimonials.
Yeah.
And now impeachment has really kind of done the same thing. We had over 3,000 people, new people, join last week, and 86,000 posts last month during impeachment. And so, yes, that's the Facebook group at this point has about 225,000 in it, and that's where we have tens of thousands of written video testimonials, people telling their stories about why they're walking away and why they've had it. And so, yeah, I mean, it very much, I think, is influenced by whatever the Democrats happen to be doing at the time. And, of course, we work very, very hard traveling the country. As I said, talking in colleges, we do educational videos now. We do minority-focused town halls. We do the Black Americans town hall, Hispanic Americans town hall, LGBT Americans. We're about to do our first Jewish Americans town hall in New York in February. We also have an incredible women's event coming up in Nashville. So I put a lot of focus. This is a movement for all people.
Yes.
They're all, but we do put a lot of focus on education for minority groups, because it is minority groups who have typically been pandered to, lied to, and manipulated by the Democrat Party, marketed to, and are voting Democrat in huge voting blocks. If you ask most people who fall into a minority category why they support Democrats, the answer you'll get is usually, well, my parents, my grandparents did. I don't know. So I think it's time that we kind of shake off these old ideas and talk about the present, what's really going on now, and what's good for people today in 2019, 2020.
Yeah, as my old buddy, the Reverend C.L. Bryant, coined this phrase several years ago with his movie Runaway Slave, that Democrats are keeping, and was focused mostly on the black community, but, you know, keeping them on the Democrat plantation. And I think you've used that vernacular, that language as well. And people truly are waking up to it. You can follow Brandon Straka on Twitter at Brandon Straka, S-T-R-A-K-A, just like it sounds. Walkawaycampaign.com is so very important. I'm going to push this break just a little bit so we don't have to keep you to the other side, Brandon. I want to really take a moment. People who have listened to me fill in here at 710 or to my Saturday shows know the story. I went to Cleveland as a Ted Cruz delegate. The Trump campaign completely kicked our behinds. I left there angry at how Paul Manafort had been brought in to run a tight convention. We were not heard. Republican Party needs to work on how they deal with delegates. But Donald Trump was the nominee. And so I was having to come to grips in the Cleveland airport with the fact that I had to support somebody I didn't believe in, because I could not stomach the idea of Hillary Clinton becoming the president. While I was there, plane was delayed. I wound up running into a family member who's a TV producer, leftist politically, did not like Hillary Clinton because she thought she was a criminal, did not think she could vote for Donald Trump because his policies were so, you know, foreign to her view of the world. But she had spent time with Donald Trump. She had been on his planes. She had flown to Russia with him. She had been to his weddings covering him. And she said, the way the media portrays this man is such BS. He is kind. He is respectful. He remembers things about you and your family. He's empowered women in his organizations, and on and on and on. And just 4 weeks ago today, you had an opportunity for the very first time to meet the president, who has retweeted you, obviously has become a fan. What was it like to actually spend some time talking to the president of the United States?
Well, I have to tell you, it was an incredible honor, first and foremost. It was an amazing experience. But I think what was so kind of astounding about it for me after the fact, or even kind of in the moment, was that I didn't feel nervous at all. I mean, as you think about a moment like that, you think, oh, God, will I be able to talk? Will I be able to? And I felt like I was talking to a friend, and I felt very comfortable. He made me feel very comfortable. We kind of exchanged a few jokes. I asked him if we could sit at some point. I had a lot to talk to him about. He said, yes, we'll talk. And my favorite moment from that exchange with him, it took place actually at Mar-a-Lago, at the restaurant at Mar-a-Lago. And after we talked for a while, he went around to all the tables nearby and said, hey, do you know who this guy is? Do you know who he is? He's getting people to walk away from the Democrat Party. It's tremendous. It's incredible. Just literally walked around bragging about me to all the people around. And I was just watching going, oh, my God, is this really happening?
It's just incredible. The love that we observe when he has these massive rallies, his love for the military, for men and women of law enforcement, and for the people who wait in line in freezing cold overnight to come in and hear him speak, it's not an act, is it? It is a genuine love of America and its citizens.
It's not an act, and it's ridiculous to think that it would be. I mean, this is not. He does not need to be doing this at this phase. He doesn't need the money, the power, the recognition.
Sure.
And he doesn't need the headache or the abuse. And so everything that he does because he has the love of country and he has the love of the people in this country, particularly those who are struggling. And I believe that this is a person who has really made it a priority to, at this point in his life, dedicate his time and his energy to giving back and fighting for the American people when he sees our country being pulled away by the Democrats. For that, I think that he's really heroic.
Well, I will leave you with a couple of things. The first time I reached out to you, when you were a lot easier to connect with, by the way, and I had you on the show, I told you that I really admired your courage, your tenacity, and insisting on sharing your epiphany with the world. And, man, you have just backed that up with a ton of work. You're everywhere doing everything, working your tail off, not only for this president, but for all of the communities that benefit by the policies of this president and the perspective of conservatism when it's properly understood. And I just want to commend you for that again. Two texts have come into the studio while I've been talking to you. I admire Brandon Straka and so happy when you have him on your show. Great job. See, you need to come back more often. Ask him about the Antifa thugs threatening him. I'll pick that up on the other side. I don't want to keep you any longer. Then this last one is very, very important in light of what actually triggered you to start the walkaway movement. Trump used the correct gesture to display, quote, backpaddling. I'm disabled with flailing limbs. I saw the lies and walked away. I, too, voted for Trump.
Wow.
How about that, brother?
That's amazing. Yeah. And, thank you. I appreciate all the kind words and the compliments that you just gave me. You've always, I want to say thank you to you because since the very beginning, you've been very supportive and given me a voice and a platform. And that means a lot to me and always will. I do apologize that things have gotten a little bit more difficult.
That's okay. You've moved into the A-list of guests. There's nothing wrong with that, brother. I want to wish you a happy new year. God bless you. Keep you safe. And we'll certainly have you back on in 2020. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much. Happy new year.
All right. Very good. Late on the break, we'll get right to it. Do have a line open, 303-696-1971. I'm Randy Corcoran. Stay with us here. 710 KNUS. We got about 30 minutes to go until the end of the show. One line still open, 303-696-1971. Artis and Johnny, sit tight. We will definitely do nothing but calls between now and the end of the show. Snow is expected to end around 4 o'clock today. Going to stay cold, though. 25 now in Aurora, 28 degrees in Denver. Slight warming trend tomorrow, all the way up to 43 degrees by the time we get to Tuesday. And once again, Colorado is in the news. I just saw the headlines scrolling across on Fox News here in the studio talking about three or four people who were arrested because of that Colorado daycare center that had put up the false wall. This woman, you're supposed to be limited 10 kids in a home like that, I guess, and she put up this false wall so she could just stash the kids and keep bringing them in, have up to 30 kids there. And didn't follow this story very much during the week, but Whippersnapper tells me that the parents who were using this daycare were defending her because she's just so nice and, you know, we need the help. And so she was making it possible to have more kids there. It's absolutely insane, parents. What are you thinking? These limits are there for a reason. Toddlers, you can't have two or three people keeping an eye on dozens of tiny little kids. The one woman's been arrested on two counts of reckless child abuse without injury, single count of trying to influence a public servant. Another, influence a public servant along with a misdemeanor child abuse, and a ticket for smoking possession of marijuana while acting as a caregiver in a child care facility. Another one, unlawful possession of a Schedule II controlled substance, as well as misdemeanor child abuse. And the fourth person, misdemeanor child abuse. The first one bonded out, whatever. I mean, come on, folks, let's keep our kids safe. We don't need circus shows at our daycare centers for little kids. It's absolutely outrageous. All right, before we get to the phone lines, just a couple of things I want to replay for you. This, and we'll do the short version so we can get right to the phones. Michael Moore, that brilliant electoral pundit, that prognosticator who so wisely and powerfully predicted the election of Donald J. Trump a year before the election, and he articulated the reasons for it very, very accurately. This is the ultra-lefty filmmaker Michael Moore. Here's what he said about 2020 just last night on HBO.
People, where are you? You have to listen. You have to listen this time because he is going to win the 2020 election.
Well, duh. You heard it from the horse's mouth. They all know it. They all know it. And that's why the Democrats are fighting with everything they've got. We're going to continue to impeach. If he's acquitted or exonerated in this impeachment, we will continue to impeach. We'll go back to the Mueller report. We'll do this. We'll do that. It's unbelievable. And part of the reason is they know what a clown show, what a clown car it is of candidates that they have. More and more serious prognosticators are saying that Hillary Clinton's going to come in at the backside of this, clean it up, and take on the rematch of Donald Trump. And can you imagine any of these current Democrat candidates? They seem to have like a tea party, and I mean in the effeminate sense, with the pinky up tea party on the stage, having a little chat about China policy and the dangers in the world and all that. And they were so kind to each other, so gentle, just a food fight, not a debate. Remember how Donald Trump reacted early on in the primaries to the people who were considered to be the front runner?
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency.
Jeb Bush.
That's not going to happen. And I do have the strength.
I'm at 42 and you're at 3. So
doesn't matter.
Doesn't
matter.
I mean, that's what Democrats are going to have to look forward to. Once it becomes a mano a mano, one man or woman facing off against the 45th president of the United States. And wanted to make sure we got that in. Last thing before we go to our full lines. I do not want the final show of Wake Up with Randy Corporon for 2019 to go away without making sure I say some very clear thank yous. Starting with the leadership and management here at 710 KNUS for giving me the opportunity to have a voice. Dragging me in whenever needed and whenever I can to fill in for everybody. It is a blessing. This station has gone through some turmoil the last month. We will come out stronger and better on the other side of it, but it never once challenged in any way, except for the radical leftists and the angry anti-Trumpers and Antifa, the other nut jobs out there who, you know, take advantage of an opportunity to sling the mud that really we've been kind of talking about throughout the course of the show. Never change the underlying fundamental principles of why we do what we do here, and I'm very appreciative. All last week, filling in for Peter Boyles, I've come to love the man. We spend so much time on motorcycles and in lots of conversations. I wish he would take more vacations because I like doing his show. But I appreciated having it last week during the Christmas break. He'll be back on Monday morning. Kelly Michaels, program director, who came in all week long to produce the show for me so that other people could have their vacation break. That's what good leaders do. And then my own whippersnapper. We're reunited at least for one Saturday. Because you actually started your work on Wake Up with Randy Corporan, right? Your first efforts at production were here on our show, 6 to 9 a.m.
That's correct.
Yeah, so just thanks to everybody. Happy New Year to everybody. It is so darn cool to be a part of this family. And now, let's go to ladies first to get some phone calls done. Artists in Aurora, haven't talked to you in a while either. Happy New Year, ma'am.
Happy New Year. And it occurs to me that with as good a job as President Trump has been doing, that it is just perfection that he is running for his second term in 2020, where a lot of people's vision should be much clearer.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, the point you're making, I reluctantly voted for Trump in 2016 because never Hillary.
Same here.
I didn't trust or believe he would do half the things that he said he would do. And instead, he's done, I mean, the list is into the almost 300 now of the accomplishments of his administration. There's some big government stuff in there I don't like, some concessions to establishment Republicans and Democrats. But this guy's a promise keeper, and he has done more to advance the conservative agenda than anybody, perhaps even including Reagan.
I think the Republicans' theme song should change to I Can See Clearly Now.
I love it. Yeah, because people like you and I are going to be on fire to stop the socialist takeover of our country, where we voted because we had to in 2016. Now we are motivated. They think they're motivated on the left. Baby, they ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, yeah. And they haven't got anybody that even comes close.
No, that's absolutely right. And, Artis, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for waiting and
weighing
in.
Happy New Year.
All right. Artis's line is open. Johnny and Nick, let's take our break now so we've got enough time for full phone calls on the other side. We'll do that when we come back on Wake Up with Randy Corporan at 710 KNUS. It's for you, Artis.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
18 minutes to go until high noon, 11:42 on the final edition of Wake Up with Randy Corporan for 2019. Only one person I know in the world who will call you when they know you are live on the air. His name's Peter Boyles, but I had texted him to ask if he was going to talk about Don Imus. Nobody better in Denver radio ever to talk about radio, what makes talk radio go, what makes people successful. Peter Boyles knew Don Imus, and I had texted him during the break to ask if he was going to talk about the death of Don Imus and the history of Don Imus, all of the things he gets into when he's back here on Monday morning. And he called back, and I'm sorry. I usually, you know, attorney-client privilege, keep them off the record, but this one's great. Peter said that since with the death of Don Imus, that it makes now Chuck Boniwell the worst person ever on radio. And he will elaborate on that on Monday. And that's not a shot at Chuck. Love Chuck and Julie, and we all know what happened there. We will move on with full lines. And a couple of things I didn't get to before we grabbed the calls. More drones flying around. Three more counties had these waves of 6-foot wingspan drones driving around, and nobody seems to know who's flying them or what they're doing. They're flying in groups. It's like they're doing nighttime surveillance. The conspiracists think, you know, we're being stalked for an attack or something, and others say it's companies looking over land for maybe oil and gas investment. Who knows? Because there are no answers. We had Steve Reams, Weld County Sheriff, on yesterday, and he talked a little bit about what was going on, but nobody knows. The actual sheriffs don't know specifically where these things are coming from, and I guess I don't understand that. Oh, can't you just follow them? They got to land. Can't you just set up a drone of your own and follow them to wherever they're going. They've got to have a home base someplace. Don't we have these things called satellites? Can you not track them that way? I don't know. Kelly Michaels reached out to a company that might have had some answers last week, but never got back to us in time to put them on the air. The other thing that the attorney and me will be following closely is this Denver County Court judge's ruling that the camping ban imposed by Denver has been ruled unconstitutional. So you cannot get a ticket for illegally camping on public ground if you don't have a home, if you don't have a place to go, apparently. And this is especially close to me because, you know, I've got the guy on the other side of the spectrum, the business owner downtown Denver, who's been cited because homeless people are defecating and trashing up his parking lot. And the police don't move them. They don't enforce the trespassing laws. And the city has sent him guidelines on how he can train his employees to clean up human feces. And that first court appearance is coming up in the middle of January. So these stories are going to tie together. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't, as a government, shift the burden onto private citizens for your lack of enforcement. Or now this county court judge is ruling that the camping ban is unconstitutional. What a mess cities turn into when they are run by liberals. Other thing we'll probably look at for next week, federal judge blocking the voter ID mandate in North Carolina. Once again, a single federal judge steps up and starts a policy that a state was free under the Constitution to implement, no different than when a federal judge, lone federal judge, stops the executive branch. Remember, in our constitutional republic, the executive is co-equal with the courts. Congress is co-equal with the executive and the courts. They're all co-equal with the other. And what people forget is the states are sovereign in the United States of America as well. Just as you are an individual citizen with God-given individual rights protected by the Bill of Rights, what government can't do to you, the states in the United States of America are supposed to be sovereign entities as well. What a mess we have in the judicial system. All right, I promised we'd clear these lines, and we will. Who's been waiting the longest? Johnny in Denver. Welcome to the show. Johnny, going once.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, make it quick, okay. Sir. We're limited on time.
Okay, my brothers came out of Vietnam War. One joined the Black Panthers. It was back then. It was kill the whitey. Martin Luther King said, 10% can't kill anybody without them being massacred. He was the voice of reason. Now we're back here, and now the left is pushing the Muslims to take over and do bad things to white and Jewish people. And it's almost like they just keep switching groups. Okay, this one didn't work that well. Let's switch over to this group.
And, Johnny, you're a black conservative in Denver, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you must be responding to the first hour we did with Robert Spencer and some of the information that
yeah.
we shared, and Bamba, some of the things he had to say when he called in. So I wish we had more time to elaborate, but we've got shows to do next year. I hope you'll be with us.
I will.
Happy New Year to you, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
God bless.
All right, next in order is James in Denver. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Randy, real quick, I'd just like to get your answer off the air. My concerns for the next vote, again, it seems to be getting worse as states like Texas and New Mexico are slowly turning blue. At the state level, they're giving out licenses, illegal voting. And do you think Trump is being proactive on this agenda? Because it's, you know, again, in Florida, we're going to have recounts. You know that's going to happen. And it's gonna, you know, as sure as everybody is that Trump will win again, I'm concerned with this illegal voting and the licenses at state level, and Trump has no control at state level. And do you think he's being proactive in handling the illegal voting? Thank you.
Well, you bet, and thanks for calling in. James' line is open now, 303-696-1971. We still got about 6 or 7 minutes, so if you want to get in a last call, feel free. Yes, I think they are contemplating all kinds of reactions to the illegal voting problem. You've seen rulings upheld where 200,000 dead voters were removed from the rolls. I forget the state right now. And that was challenged, and it was upheld to go ahead and do it. We now have an individual federal judge who's blocking the mandate in North Carolina that people need to bring an ID. You know, you have to have an ID. You have to be 21 now and have an ID to buy cigarettes or to buy alcohol, 18 or 21, to get on an airplane, to check out a library book. By the way, the libraries have dropped, Denver libraries have dropped fining people for not bringing their books back because they want to encourage people to come back to the library. So, more stupidity. But you still have to have an ID to check out the book. But it's just too cumbersome for people. And they make it sound like, and they always bring up people in the black community or people that are poor. Like people are too dumb or too incompetent or haven't been in society long enough. With all the help you can get IDs, you can get rides, you can get... It doesn't take a lot to get something to establish that you are a citizen of this country who has a right to vote. And instead, they always accuse Republicans of trying to suppress the vote. I can guarantee you, a Republican president who is now experiencing 30-plus percent approval in black communities, when the average for Republican presidents is about 8% of the vote, is not trying to suppress the vote. We want all Americans to vote for freedom, for economic success and security, on and on and on. So to answer the question, my spies who are involved in policy briefings and different things, this Republican Party, with the amount of money they have, with the vote-gathering technologies that they're getting together, they are very concerned, very aware about voter cheating. And I'll tell you what, bringing it home to the local communities, we need voter judges for the upcoming election. I think the deadline is, what, the 3rd of January or the 6th? I know Arapahoe County has a call out for people to help monitor the elections coming up. You saw the mess of how the votes went in Arapahoe County under the license plate clerk and recorder that we have now. And she didn't care when confronted by a Nine News reporter. She didn't know how to answer a question on how she could ensure to her constituents on both sides of the political aisle that this was going to be a fair vote, properly counted, properly treated. Votes were being brought in boxes in the back of the room. People who were there have talked to me about what was going on. There are investigations underway. We cannot turn to the Trump administration or the Republican Party or something on a federal level to help ensure that we have secure and accurate vote counts. You got to bring it home, and you got to invest some time. You've got to recruit other people to invest some time and show up on polling day to monitor the elections, to be part of the vote counting, to be an election judge, checking for IDs, matching up signatures, all of the things that help us ensure that we have elections that are fair and aren't influenced by Democrat tricks to... think about Al Franken in Minnesota. They recounted that election. The Republican had won. They recounted that election 8 or 10 times. They kept finding boxes of ballots in people's trunks. And then liberal judges kept saying, well, everybody's vote has to count. We've got to keep counting them. And they kept counting until they had just enough to elect former comedian Al Franken to be a United States senator. That is how the left rolls on these issues. All right, let's see here. Nick in Denver, you've been waiting the longest. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. As a lawyer, when this happens about voting on the state level, and it's clearly an area that the executive branch controls, why can't something be done legally to overturn this judge? Or does it have to go to a Supreme Court or a lower court?
Well, I think what's happened with the North Carolina judge, or the federal judge who's blocked the North Carolina mandate for voter ID, is they filed suit and he's entered a temporary injunction to stop the implementation of the voter ID until there's a full hearing on it. So it's going to have to go through that particular hearing process and then be challenged in the Supreme Court. We have seen the Supreme Court willing to respond quickly when things are extremely time sensitive. But this is just another strategy of the left, one that Republicans and people on the right don't implement very well, to utilize the courts to tie up something good just long enough so that it doesn't matter by the time it's resolved. It may matter for the next election, but it won't matter for this one. And I fear that may be what's happening with this North Carolina injunction. It may just be too slow to get resolved before the election.
Quickly, I know you're time sensitive here. What was the name of the guy who talked about 2 days ago, talked about how the liberals know how to use the current system against us, the legal system and the other systems that are out there?
On one of my shows?
Yes, it was about 2 days ago.
Gosh. I'll
Google it. Anyway, I'll get off the line. Thanks again.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. I'm just scrolling through my guest lists from the Peter Boyle show. We had Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson, Jen Kearns, Jenny Beth Martin, Sheriff Reams, Ted Harvey, Committee to Defend the President. Oh, it was Daniel Horowitz. That's who he's talking about. Daniel Horowitz, Conservative Review. Yeah, so glad you mentioned that. I'll make a note to remind folks about what's happening, local communities that Horowitz talked about on the next edition of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, which I assume will be next Saturday. I assume it will be 6 to 9 or 9 to 12. I don't really know at this moment. But I already said my thank yous to everybody. Really appreciate it. Jimmy Sengenberger tonight, Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn tomorrow. Peter Boyle's back in the saddle on Monday morning. Bird Talk is next. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you. So do I. Stay safe and warm out there. Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2020.